Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is where you'll find free speech, and it's where you'll find the donate button on republicbroadcasting.org so you too can contribute to free speech. And while you're at it, go to nationalbugle.com, download the Co-Certified app. You'll find the Co-Certified link there. You got to scroll down a little bit through the all the great headlines that are up there. And then, of course, today is Monday. Monday is the day that Mark Collett jumps across the pond and talks to us about what's going on in his neck of the woods. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. How are you doing? Are you enjoying the lockdown? Are you enjoying being quarantined in your house and not being allowed out for anything other than essential goods and one stint of exercise per day?
I'm not sure if those are exactly the rules where I am, but actually, yeah, I am. I'm enjoying it.
I thought you would be. I'm not finding it too bad either.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm getting a lot of stuff done and taken care of. And I expect to have a completely clean basement by the time this is all over, which has never happened before.
I know, I've never seen so many people in my area all getting into gardening. It's really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of that,
and there's
too.
So many people out doing family walks and going out on their bikes. When we go out for our daily walk, we see loads of people doing that, and we don't usually see that many people enjoying the countryside. So, if anything, I hope this serves to bring a few people together as families and also to get people a little bit more enthusiastic about doing a little bit of gardening, doing it. Not that I enjoy gardening myself, but it is nice to be outdoors. I think there are positives to this, and I like to stay positive. I don't want to be one of these people who's talking doom and gloom. And I do have some interesting statistics to share with you today about the coronavirus here in the UK. And there's lots of interesting things to talk about. But I think we should start on a lighter note. And I do believe that it is a good thing for some people. And I've also spoken to people here in the UK who usually they're both at work, their children are in daycare, and they're quite enjoying having their children at home and getting to spend so much time as a family through the week, which is not only good for them, but also good for their children.
For something like this to happen once, if it doesn't go on for too long, I think it can knock it, you know, if enough people respond the right way and get their own lives in order while they have a break, I think there can be some positives that come out of this. If this becomes the new normal, if this is a 9/11 that transforms everybody permanently into a new state of, I don't know, having to do everything different. I mean, after 9/11, going on airplanes became have to go through giant lines and take off your shoes and that's hardly the worst of it. After 9/11, we had this massive security state apparatus that came up. I mean, there's a lot of bad that can come out of this. There is some good. We have to keep our eyes open. We'll get to that, but I want kind of an update on what's going on in Britain, because we know that Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said that he's got coronavirus. He's tested positive. I don't know what kind of symptoms he has. We know Prince Charles has tested positive. They both come in contact with the Queen. I had heard that she tested positive, but I'm not sure if that's true. What's going on with the Queen? Because she's 93 years old and vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Well, I wouldn't be too worried about any of the people you've mentioned, because let's face it, when it comes to medical care, when it comes to being looked after, I wouldn't call the Queen vulnerable. These people would be getting the best healthcare in the entire world. They're not the kind of people who are going to end up toughing it out at home and trying to hobble to the supermarket for the last box of Lemsip Max Strengths and a few bottles of Lucozade. They're not the kind of people who are going to be in an overcrowded hospital somewhere. They will either have very, very good private healthcare plans, or they will have entire hospital wings closed off just for them, with the best doctors in the land dedicated to making sure their lives are not cut short in any way. So they're not the people who are really vulnerable or at risk. But I do find it very odd that all of these rather rich and famous people are managing to get it. I mean, after all, we're meant to be under quarantine. Aren't these people following the rules?
Well, you see, Prince Charles, and I saw a little video montage of him recently walking up to all these people with his hands out, and then his handler says, oh, put your hand back. And so maybe they're not following the rules. And you see them huddling together with their aides, with their cabinet members, trying to figure things out. And so, no, they're not following the rules. And it is contagious. It's hard to know exactly how contagious it is. And because there's not a whole lot of testing going on. And I know in the United States, because there's a big lack of tests, if you call up the hospital system and say that you're concerned, they're going to ask you a few questions. Have you been to China? You know, have you come into contact with anybody who's tested positive? And of course, hardly anybody's tested anything because there are no tests. And so you're going to answer no to both of those. And then they'll say, well, okay, you don't. And, you know, are you puking your guts out or whatever the symptoms are? I guess it's not puking your guts out. And then they'll declare you negative, and that's that. Where one population that was, I believe, pretty thoroughly tested, although not necessarily with the most accurate tests, were the people on that the cruise ship, the Princess Diamond, I believe that's what it was called, the Diamond Princess. And if I'm not mistaken, 20% of them tested positive in the end, which is a fair number. And then out of that 20%, it was, I think, 1.4% wound up dying. It's probably the most accurate numbers we have.
That's a really interesting set of figures. Mm-hmm. However, and that's something I wanted to discuss with you today, the figures. Because I've seen a very, very interesting report that suggests something like 1.6 million people in the UK may actually have it. And it might be very, very, very underreported. Now,
why I brought up the Diamond Princess, because they were probably the most thoroughly tested, although they're not the most typical demographic, being that they're going to skew to being older, and then also it was so early on that the tests weren't necessarily the most accurate, but they were probably the most thoroughly tested.
Well, in the UK, there's been, as of this morning, the press revealed this morning, there's been 19,522 cases. And of those cases, 1,228 deaths. Now, that's a rather large 6.28% death rate. Mm-hmm. Now, Boris Johnson said the overwhelming majority of people will get it, and the overwhelming majority is classed as 70% plus. So let's work on 70% of the UK population, and let's work on absolutely government figures. So if 70% of the population of the UK get coronavirus, and government estimations, and I believe the UK population is nearer 70 million now, but government statistics state that it's 66 million. Mm. So that means 46,200,000 people would end up with the virus, according to Boris Johnson. Now, if you extrapolate the 19,522 cases and 1,228 deaths, which leaves you with a 6% death rate, that would mean that just over 2.9 million people in the UK were going to die if 70% of the people got it. And the exact figure is 2,901,360 people. So that's an awful, awful lot of people. Now, I read a report this morning that says the government actually estimate that 1.6 million people have got it in the UK. And they estimate this because many people get it and don't get any symptoms. Mm-hmm. Many people get it and have such mild symptoms, they think they've got a cold or they think they've just got a bit of man flu or mild flu. It passes, they're back on their feet in a day or 2 days, and they carry on. And the suggestion of this report is that the 19,522 recorded cases are people who have gone to hospital or to the doctors with the severest symptoms. Mm-hmm. So what they're basically saying is those 19,522 cases are the most severe cases. And out of the most severe cases, 1,228 people have died. But let's say 1.6 million people actually did have it or actually had it in the UK, and then you have 1,228 deaths. Well, that leaves you with a death rate of 0.07675, mm-hmm. which is much, much lower than the 6.28% we spoke of earlier. Now, if 70% of people in the UK got the disease at a death rate of 0.076575 that we spoke of earlier, that would mean 35,459 people would die of the disease in the UK at a 70% infection rate. Now, there's a massive difference there. We're talking an absolutely phenomenal difference. We're going from over 2.9 million to less than 36,000. And I think there may well be a huge amount of underreporting of the number of cases, as this report suggests, because the only people getting tested are people attending hospitals or doctor's surgeries with the worst symptoms. So it's almost self-selecting. And because it's self-selecting, we are seeing this massively, massively inflated mortality rate. And if that is the case, obviously I don't want people going out, I don't want people spreading it, I certainly don't want anyone taking precautions or breaking the quarantine and risking the elderly or vulnerable. But that does put a very, very different spin on just how deadly coronavirus is. And I've got something else to back this up. If you look at the figures in Germany, they're very interesting. Because in Germany, they have a very, very low death rate, a death rate that's much lower than elsewhere in Europe. So you're thinking, well, what's going on in Germany? Are Germany dealing with it much more effectively? Are German hospitals better? Have they got a better healthcare system? Have they got more ventilators? Are they catching it early? Well, apparently their death rate is lower because they're testing more people. And they are doing their best to test as many people as possible to get a much more accurate view of how many people have got it. But of course, that means if this report's correct and roughly 1.6 million people have got it, the death rate would be much lower. And the Germans are testing many, many, many more people, which means their death rate is much lower, which does give a degree of credence to this report that I've seen, and that would suggest that in fact the death rate as a percentage, which obviously is very, very worrying, that could actually be something that is being blown massively out of proportion, and the figures that it's based on are so misleading, and the fear it's creating is rather unfounded.
So either it's got a high death rate. When we say a high death rate, we're talking about a percent or 2% or something like that. Or it's extremely contagious, and you can spread it without having symptoms, and perhaps, and most people don't get symptoms.
Yes,
it's got to be one or the other, or somewhere in between.
Well, let me just sorry to cut in there. I've actually just pulled up the figures. And you'd be very interested in this, Patrick, because Germany have 63,079 confirmed cases. Yet their death rate, or the, sorry, not the death rate, their total deaths are 545. So that's 63,079 cases with 545 deaths. Now, the UK has got a third of those cases, 19,512, yet their death rate, or not death rate, the total number of deaths, is 1,228. But the Germans are testing as many people as they can, and testing far more than the UK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason I brought up the Diamond Princess is that it's probably fully tested. I think everybody wound up getting tested. Maybe everyone didn't get wound up getting tested. But 20% of the people on the boat had it. If you were to say that actually everybody had it, if everybody on the boat had it, 10 people died. And when you're talking about 10 people, you're really not quite getting to where you'd want, statistical significance. But 10 people dying out of what would have been, about 3,500 people or so on the boat, and that gives you a death rate of about 0.28 or so. So not 0.028, but 0.28, which is significant. And that, but that's assuming every single person had it. So that's assuming that it's like super contagious. So it's either super contagious, or it's pretty, you know, it's not super deadly the way Ebola is, but it's bad. And we're doing this one time. The question then, there's a few questions that come out of this, because we can speculate endlessly about, you know, whether it's more contagious or whether it's more deadly and how many people. But the questions that come out of it is, you know, one question I have, you know, people obviously speculate, is this something that just jumped over from the bat population from eating bat soup? Could be. Is it something that was developed in a laboratory, whether it was a bioweapons laboratory or, you know, some other kind of laboratory? And that could be, because there's a lot of experimenting going on. One question I have is, how many of these really dangerous germs and viruses do they have in laboratories that they're messing around with? Because, you know, for instance, we know for a fact that smallpox, which otherwise has been eradicated, is still being kept alive in a couple of laboratories, at least a couple of laboratories, and there may be a good reason for it. So, you know, that's a question. I don't know. I know a few weeks ago you were still of the opinion that it was probably something that jumped over from nature. Are you still of that opinion today?
Well, just before I answer that, I just want to actually have worked out the death rate in Germany. The death rate in Germany is less than 1%. It's 0.86. Mm. Now, that is much, much lower than the UK's rather large 6.28%. Much, much lower. Mm. So I am starting to think that the more people that were tested, the more dramatically the death rate would fall. Yeah. As for
that's
where
for sure. And one other thing I want to bring up is, you know, the National Basketball Association in the United States, there's been a number of people who have tested positive who showed absolutely no symptoms. And they've been positive just because they have multi-million-dollar contracts, and their owners are able to get the tests because, you know, money talks. And so they're testing all their players, and they're finding all of these players without any symptoms who are still positive.
Yes, and that does not surprise me at all. And I'm starting to think that potentially this could be being slightly exaggerated, because if 70% of the population are going to get it, the quarantine would seem slightly heavy-handed. And interestingly, not only would it seem slightly heavy-handed, but it would be disproportionate. And it'd be disproportionate because potentially the only people who would need to be quarantined are those with underlying health issues, because some 90% plus of fatalities are people with underlying health issues.
And we'll be right back after the break.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Some 90% plus of fatalities are people with underlying health issues. And I've also heard that there's been over-reporting of fatalities in other ways. So somebody is out running, has a heart attack because they've got a heart murmur. They take them in, they do a, they do a post-mortem on them. And a couple of tests, figure out they've got coronavirus, and somebody with, and the press will say, healthy athlete with coronavirus dies. And you're thinking, oh, my God. And then you read the article, it says, a 28-year-old, otherwise healthy athlete, collapsed and died and was infected with coronavirus. And then you read a little further and it says, you know, the autopsy report suggests that it was an undisclosed heart murmur due to a problem with their left ventricle. And you're like, oh, well, that wasn't coronavirus. But the headline is very misleading, that this healthy athlete collapsed on a run and they were infected with coronavirus. And because you see all those words in the headline together, healthy athlete collapses and dies coronavirus, everyone's like, oh my gosh, this healthy athlete who shouldn't have any problems at all died of coronavirus. And you read the article, and that isn't the case. And there was actually an article in a major UK publication the other day, which was withdrawn or sort of redacted or deleted. It certainly isn't up there anymore because they ran a very misleading headline about somebody who was infected with coronavirus, who had died, and it was leading to this panic. And I'm starting to think now, Is some of this quarantine a little bit heavy-handed? And maybe if it is this being done for a specific reason? Is this being done so the government can test just how far they can roll out a police state? Is this being done as almost a test so the government can say, well, if the people will agree to having this many of their freedoms taken away, how much further can we push it, or how much freedom do we have to give back to them? Because interestingly, they said that the lockdown would be 3 weeks. They've already said that the lockdown is potentially now going to be much, much longer, and have said it could be 6 weeks, it could be 6 months. So this is very, very interesting. And as I said, I'm not suggesting that everyone should be breaking the quarantine. I'm certainly not suggesting that, because I don't have all the answers. And a lot of what we're saying now is very, very speculative. But looking at different figures, comparing those figures with the rate of infection and the mortality rates in Germany, looking at some of the misleading headlines from the tabloid press, and you start to see a pattern. And it could well be the case that myself, my partner, my daughter have all had it and not displayed a single symptom, and life's gone back to normal for us without us really ever knowing. We might have had a runny nose or coughed a couple of times when we went outside on a damp morning. But we'll never know, because something that's happened in the UK, which is obviously the opposite of what's happening in Germany, is the government have actually done their best to deny people tests up until now, which again is very, very interesting, because if you were trying to battle this, one of the key things you would be doing is giving everyone access to some form of home test. Because quarantine is, of course, important, but quarantine is only one part of the picture. It's also important to test people and to know exactly who's got it, because there's no point us all hiding in our homes. There's no point us all stopping any form of activity if we're all clear. Mm. Equally, if somebody definitely has got it, so for example, let's say I tested positive, but my partner didn't. Well, we live in a house where I could easily occupy the upper floor and not go downstairs. I could easily occupy the upper floor. I could go downstairs, pick up a food parcel, live upstairs for a couple of weeks until it had passed. I could do that. And that's something you would want to do. Equally, if one of us had got it and the other one hadn't, we wouldn't send the infected person out to do the supermarket runs. So testing is also very important, because it alters the behaviour of those who are obviously positive and those who are negative. But that isn't being done. And I find the UK government's responses to coronavirus to be absolutely perplexing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we skipped the first break, but I'm going to wind up inserting that and fixing it. And everybody back in Radio Land wouldn't have noticed it, except that I'm talking about it here. We've got about another 35, 40, 50 seconds before the next break. But, you know, there's a lot of, I think a lot of stuff is being experimented on the fly. I don't exactly know where this came from. Maybe we'll never know, but we really ought to find out, because everybody, you know, not just the government, but the people are going to have to do a post-mortem on this crisis once it's over. I mean, we're being good sports and we're going along with the quarantine right now and these various measures, but we're going to have to look back on this in the past tense and figure out what went on and who was taking advantage of what, and who was trying to pull what. And this can't be the new normal that every now and then, all of a sudden, we're going to get locked down. So let's talk about that when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back. And so there is something novel to this coronavirus. So probably it spreads really, really easily. The infection rate is probably a lot greater than most other potentially fatal diseases we come by. And compared to the typical flu, it probably does have a significantly higher death rate. Of course, we're doing this whole economic shutdown, and when we start getting figures, there's going to be, China's probably going to have, for the at least the first quarter of this year, maybe they're going to be down 20% year on year or something like that. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, why are you worrying about the economy, the line? We have to worry about people's lives. And it's true we have to worry about people's lives. But people's lives also depend on an economy. An economy is the distribution of goods and services throughout a population. And if people aren't working, the government can print money. But if people aren't working and those goods and services aren't being produced and aren't being moved around, a modern urban economy, urban society, it can't sustain itself indefinitely like that. People will start dying from other reasons. And, you know, in the United States, and I'm pretty sure it's probably the same in Europe and in Britain, we lose huge numbers of people through unemployment. We have 7,000 people every year, 7,000 veterans, not people, but veterans, people who are in the military every year committing suicide. And that's just the veterans. And so we've got this massive opioid crisis. So just the aspect of not having a job kills thousands and thousands of people every year. We've got 20 veterans a day committing suicide. You know, there's suicides, there's all sorts of other things. And then at some point, you start, if this were to go on for too long, you start having, food scarcities or other commodity scarcities. You'd have a big increase in crime. So people's, you know, we care about people's lives. We're not talking about people's profits when we're corporate profits when we're talking about the economy. But you know, how much do we tell people to stay home? And does this become the new normal? We're going to have to do a postmortem, even if we're going along right now and being good sports and trying to contain this. We're going to, not just the government, but we're going to have to look back and have some accountability. Where did this come from? Who was trying to take advantage of this to push agendas? I have the feeling that this wasn't just bat soup, that this... Maybe it was a bioweapons lab. Maybe it was just a research facility where engineers who are full of themselves, you know, engineers and researchers who are full of themselves and think that they can handle everything, couldn't handle things. I don't know. But I think it's very likely that this was a man-made virus, genetically engineered, that got out one way or another, intentionally or unintentionally. But we've got to get to the bottom of all this. What do you think of all that?
Well, firstly, I want to make this really clear. I'm not suggesting that we should all go out and take risks. I'm certainly not saying we should put GDP before the health of elderly white people. Because one thing we always hear, if there's ever some famine in Africa or some disease in Africa, it's all hands on deck to save as many lives as possible. But with coronavirus, I see lots of trendy celebrities saying, oh, well, the only people who are going to die are the elderly white people. So, well, who cares? And you're thinking to yourself, that is absolutely scandalous. That is really, really terrible that people are talking like that. And they wouldn't be talking like that if it was any other racial group that were dying. So I want to make it very clear that it's not GDP I'm concerned about when I'm questioning the mortality rates and the level of testing and whether the quarantine is necessary. My worry isn't the economy. My worry is our civil rights. It's about things such as freedom of association, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly. And I'm concerned that the government will use this to usher in new draconian laws, which then won't be repealed.
As they did in 9/11.
Yes, exactly. Or that the government will go a step further than that even, and there is the absolute potential for some kind of withdrawal of cash from society. Because one thing that I heard an awful lot of before the lockdown, and this was when pubs and shops were staying open voluntarily. So a big chain that stayed open, you won't know this chain, all the people in the UK will, it's called JD Wetherspoons. It's the biggest pub chain in the UK. People generally like Wetherspoons because the drinks are cheap. The food isn't too bad. It's not the best in the world, but it's also very affordable. And people like going to Wetherspoons. Now, Wetherspoons stated that they would be remaining open, but they would not be accepting any form of cash. Now, that is an issue. That's something that caught the attention of many people who are truth seekers, nationalists, part of the alternative media, because it was a big statement. We won't be accepting cash. And one thing that people on our side of the fence are concerned about is surveillance. It's the way the government can spy on us. And one way the government can spy on us is by moving to some form of cashless society, a society where every single transaction has to be done via card, via bank transfer, and none of us are free to go down to the shops with a £10 note, buy what we want, and then at the end of it all, walk away and no one actually knows what you've purchased.
Well, that's something certainly that a lot of people listening to RBN would be concerned about, because I think we have an audience that includes people who were already worried about all of the record keeping that's kept on us. And I think there are a lot of people who skew towards cash. I've been to gatherings where people purposely don't use credit cards because they don't want to be tracked. And the people who run the financial system, the credit card system, these major banks, not just the major banks though, but the people who they contract to do their billing, credit card bills, a lot of Israeli firms, by the way. And that is, if cash were to become a casualty of this, people touch cash. Well, people touch doorknobs. Are we going to be banning doorknobs? Is every single commercial outlet or residence, or are we going to have to have like electric doors that open for us? That's really going very far. And of course, the ability to track every single transaction is a way of tracking the population that I think a lot of people would just find unacceptable.
I certainly agree, and I find it very, very worrying that potentially this move to a cashless society wouldn't be pushed by the government. The fact big companies are saying, well, we will let you come and shop here, we will let you buy our goods, we will let you sit in our pubs, in our restaurants, in our cafes, but we are forcing you to use card payments only. Now, that's really, really worrying, because we've already talked a lot before about the way that a lot of these changes here in the West aren't actually being done by the government. They're actually being done by the so-called free market. So, for example, people like yourself have your free speech taken away, not by a government, mm-hmm. but actually by people like Facebook, by people like Twitter, by people like YouTube. These are the big companies. Well, it's not YouTube, it's Google, isn't it?
By Google people like owns Google. YouTube, yeah.
Yes. So what I'm saying is, we already have a problem here in the West with our free speech being taken away, not by the government, by the free market. And when it's taken away by the free market, there's really nothing you can do, because you can't vote the people who run Google out of power. You can't vote the people who run Facebook out of power. And people will say, oh, well, just use a different social network. But when these social networks, when these video sharing platforms, when these microblogs are what could be considered as monopolies, there really isn't anywhere else to go. And they are monopolies. So what would happen if a major chain of pubs like Wetherspoons, or a major chain of restaurants, or a chain of retailers said, we from now on, due to coronavirus, are not mm-hmm. going to be taking any form of cash payments? Well, it's actually their right to do that, isn't it? They could do that without anyone really complaining. I mean, let's face it, the government couldn't say, well, actually, you have to take cash payments. And then what would be even worse? Well, imagine if a group of retailers, or a group of restaurants, or a group of public houses all chose to do the same thing. All of a sudden, these people would effectively be destroying cash as a means of making payment, and that would totally change the way society ran. And it could all be done really off the back of coronavirus. Now, I know that might sound a little conspiratorial, but a few years ago it might have sounded conspiratorial if you'd have said to people, well, actually, what you're going to see in the next few years is a situation where everyone talks via computers, mobile phones, And they all talk on big websites owned by a couple of giant companies. And then when those companies take your voice away, you effectively disappear. People have said, oh, that sounds like a dystopian view of the future. Yet here we are with exactly that happening. And what I'm saying is, I wouldn't count out these companies from trying to kill off cash transactions so that we can be monitored. And remember, it won't just be the government monitoring us, it will be these companies. Because what you tend to find with these big companies is they love data. They love data not just on what we spend money on, but on all of our habits, because that data gives them a huge amount of power. So a cashless society would very much be in the interests of Western governments, but I believe it would also be in the interests of some of these big corporations.
You know, 15 years ago, I think it was post 9/11, there was a novel written by an Australian. It was called Jennifer Government. And on the cover, there was a girl and she had a barcode tattooed on her face. But I won't go through the whole plot of the book, but one of the premises of the book was that people had become so attached to their employers that they no longer had family names. Their last name would be the name of their employer. And so this Jennifer Government worked for the government. And the government in this dystopian future had just become a rather minor actor in affairs. So the main actors in affairs, the main super organizations were if you ride the airlines, you get points, and they have alliances, and maybe British Airlines is in alliance with Hertz Rent-A-Car, and you can use your British Airlines points at Hertz Rent-A-Cars and this and that. So airline alliances had really become the dominant actors in society. And, there was the president of the American government, but most people didn't even know his name because he wasn't significant. But, the big people were these, private sector actors, the big companies. And that's, people talk about, for instance, China's got a state-run media. And I sometimes talk about our country only half in jest as having a media-run state. And it's not just the media, obviously. It's, there's the banks, a bank-run state as opposed to state-run bank. Our government is so much captured. And the type of thing you're talking about, who's doing the censorship, who do we really fear? I don't really fear the government so much. It's the government's not going to come after me for expressing my views. It's the private sector, via the Huffington Post or whatever, that's going to make it impossible for me to ever go back into academia. It's not the government. The government guarantees my free speech, but they no longer have the means to enforce that guarantee.
Well, exactly. And this is the big thing. In countries such as America, where there's a First Amendment, where there is protection to free speech, the free speech is being eroded by the so-called free market. So now you have a situation where, and the Conservatives support this, so you have, and this is a really interesting way that the left and the right, when I say the left and the right, I mean the establishment left and the right, so Democrats and Republicans work together. You have the Democrats who say, we need to take away these people's freedom of speech. Then the companies say, well, let's take away their freedom of speech then. And the Republicans say, well, we're not going to ban them from saying it, but we believe in a free market. So it's up to you who you have on your platform. So essentially, the Democrats want us silencing, the big companies want us silencing, and the Republicans, who claim we shouldn't be silenced, actually agree with companies silencing us because they're so committed to this libertarian belief of free market economies and that big companies should act without any interference, that they then let the big companies deplatform us. So isn't that strange? Isn't that it's an almost symbiotic relationship between the right and the left, which allows us, the more radical people, the people who have ideas outside of the narrow mainstream political dichotomy, to be absolutely silenced.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Okay, we only have, we've got about 10 seconds before the break. We'll come back, and I'm going to tell you about when I was a little kid and I had a paranoid aunt, and I want to hear your response to it. We'll be right back.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we're back. And when I was a kid, sometimes my grandmother would come to visit, and she would sometimes bring her sister, who was never had any kids of her own. And I remember getting mad at her once because she got on my rocking horse thought she was going to break it. She was okay in the daytime, but at night she'd have these paranoid delusions. And I remember coming downstairs and my father was trying to calm her because she thought she was being spied on through electrical outlets. And I was thinking, well, how could anybody get in those electrical outlets? But it did get me thinking. And I said, well, maybe we are being spied on somehow. And of course, nowadays we are being spied on, and it's more or less, it might as well be through the electrical outlets. And but, you know, they were keeping records, but the Soviet Union tried to keep records on people, but they never had the computer systems. Well, we've got the computer systems, but for a while we were collecting so much data, but it was so much data, how could you ever store it? Well, now we can store it. But then it was, well, you can store all this data, but how could you possibly analyze it? And we're going farther and farther to the point where, and even if they never get to that final stage where, oh, they can run algorithms and find that person who it would be the terrorist, as soon as somebody comes to their attention, they can go back and on their records and find out, you know, well, show me the man, I'll show you the crime, because everybody's got something. But if they ever got to the point where they could say, show me, you know, that, where they could have algorithms that would pick out somebody for being a terrorist risk, they can also have algorithms that would pick out somebody for being a political risk, for being a, you know, a white advocate. So have we gotten to the stage where, you know, Aunt Thelma was worried about?
I think we have. I think we've got to the stage where we are being monitored, and we're being monitored in so many ways. I mean, I spoke recently at a conference in the UK, the Patriotic Alternative Conference, which is our organization here in Britain. And I said, I have been talking to my friends on the phone about certain products only to go onto Facebook, go on to anywhere that has these targeted ads, in fact, and see those products being advertised to me. So I may have spoken about a computer game I want to purchase or something I needed for my camping equipment or my mountain bike. Only
you're talking about speaking in real life, not writing an email.
Speaking
or text
in real life, wow, on my mobile phone. So I've been saying, wow, hey, I'm having a problem with my mouse. It's got a bit sticky. Do you suggest a mouse that...
Okay, that's one step further than I was aware of. Okay, that's pretty
scary.
And
then I get, you know, the Corsair Extreme gaming mouse, just $49.99, special offer. And I'm like, oh, so shall I get rid of my mouse where the wheel and the buttons are getting all getting a bit delayed? Because obviously over time things break. But this is what we're getting now. And if you have a smartphone, if you have one of these devices which is constantly on the internet, it is listening. It is listening to everything that you say, and you will be presented with adverts. And if you talk about notable products, if you start saying, well, I think I need I think I need some new RAM for my computer, you will get adverts for RAM for your computer. That is how it works.
Wow. That is one step farther than I was aware of. But, you know, they've got voice recognition, and from voice recognition you can extract the text, you can do searches, you can run algorithms, and that's really scary. Okay, but we have no more time to be scared today. Thank you for coming on, and we look forward to you coming back next week and scaring us some more. And in the meantime, I'll have more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Thank you. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.